Oh, wait, let me. Okay.
All right, we're recording. Is anyone here for public comment today? Asking once, asking twice, asking three times. Hearing none, public comment section is closed. Do I have a motion for the approval of the minutes from the February 22nd meeting?
So moved, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Do I have a second?
Second, Eric Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Matt, we'll move on into your staff reports today.
All right. Thank you so much, Mayor. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining today's meeting. The full staff report is loaded up online for you to look at when you get a chance. And as usual, I will just touch base on a couple of key items under each section. So the first item in my report, I'm going to save for last. But starting off under the executive director section, very pleased to tell the full board that at its March 8th meeting, our executive committee did review and authorized me to execute a 10-year lease for approximately 12,000 square feet of office space at 350 Church Street, otherwise known as the Metro Center. Those of you who are familiar with the building, we are going to be taking approximately half of CVIA's space, and they are moving up to a higher floor in the building. This new space is going to provide us with a host of advantages, room for growth, good parking, security, et cetera. And we'll be planning to move into the space in January. I apologize for the typo, January of 24. And we're really excited about this and appreciate the executive committee and the full board's support. Moving on, I did include a couple of items to highlight from the DOT. One, I wanted to flag, just in case you get questions from your residents, the DOT does want to remind everyone that it will resume fare collection on all buses and ADA paratransit as of April 1st. So as of April 1st, and they are introducing a new fare payment option in the form of an app, Token Transit, that they've utilized in other portions of the state. And apparently it works pretty well. And now they're rolling it out statewide. So just in case you get questions from your residents, wanted to make sure you were well aware. Moving on to the section on the bipartisan infrastructure law, wanted to highlight our dedicated webpage. If you have any questions, you know, Elizabeth Sanderson, Kyle Sheehan, and others are working hard to keep that up to date. We're looking forward to the April announcement on the next round of Safe Streets for All funding. And then we're also looking for information from all of you. So if you are applying for a federal discretionary grant, we really would like to know. So please notify Elizabeth or Kyle so that we can keep track and assist you as best we can in obtaining that grant. Moving on to municipal services, there's just one item I wanted to highlight today, and that is our work on the three regional performance incentive program grants that we received. Recall for code enforcement with a focus on building official, shared assessment, and animal control. We've hosted a couple of meetings with interested towns. Really want to credit and thank Pauline Yoder for her excellent work on that to date. And we're making very good progress there on all three of those programs. Moving on to regional planning and development, a couple things I wanted to highlight here. One, we've got an interesting initiative underway in partnership with Sustainable CT. And I know many of you are certified under Sustainable CT's program. This is a community-focused affordable housing initiative. And eight of our communities have expressed interest in this pilot initiative. And we're rolling it out now. And we'll keep the full board apprised of our progress there. And we're also making excellent progress on our update of the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or SEDS. And I do anticipate presenting that to the full board in the May or June timeframe. Moving on to transportation planning, that's our second to last section. our update of our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. And Rob Eloise gave you a very good presentation at your last meeting. That's well underway. We released, that's one of our major plans, the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. It's one of 3 to 4 core plans that we rely on almost every day. All of our work is linked to that. So we did issue the draft for public comment on February 22nd. We held 2 public meetings on March 8th and 9th, and the public comment period will remain open for a few more days through March 26th. And then we will be requesting policy board approval on the MTP at your next meeting in April. Earlier this week, we had a very good meeting of the Transportation Committee, and we talked about the solicitation for LOTCIP, the Local Transportation Capital Improvement Program, as well as TRIP, which is a new state initiative for rural roads. We received a number of good applications for both programs. The Transportation Committee is reviewing those now, and next month, we will be requesting your approval. And then last but not least, Mayor, under public safety, wanted to highlight Cheryl Assis's and her colleagues' good work there. The one item I did want to flag for your attention today, one of the important grants that we administer in this area is our Public Health Emergency Preparedness, or FEP grant. So that's something we're doing in collaboration with DPH. And we have affirmed our interest in remaining as the fiduciary agent or a grant manager for the next 5-year period. And I think that's a testament to the confidence that DPH has in Cheryl and in our team. That completes, Mayor, the one last item I wanted to draw your attention to, which I started off by mentioning. I'm thrilled today, and I'm sure many of you have received the email already, thrilled today to announce the appointment of Caitlin Palmer as CROG's first Director of Regional Planning and Development. That's a reconfiguration of a position that we've had in the past. Caitlin is a longtime member of our team. She is an AICP. She's going to begin this role on April 1st. Caitlin was serving most recently, as I stated, as a principal planner in our former community development section. So in this new role, she's going to be overseeing a small but talented and dedicated team that will be working to support our land use, our environmental planning, and our economic development community. Caitlin does have some great municipal experience. She worked as chief of zoning administration in Hartford for several years. She earned her bachelor's degree at JMU and her master's in urban planning at Columbia. We had some really, really talented candidates for this position. Caitlin really impressed us with her passion, with her vision, and we're really excited to see her take on this role next month. And with your indulgence, Mayor, I'd like to ask Caitlin to say a few words. Thank you.
Hi, thank you, Matt. And thank you all as well. I'm incredibly excited for this opportunity. I think that goes without saying. I'm very excited to be able to continue working with the amazing team that we have at CROG in this new capacity, and also working with you all as well. And you know, helping you address any challenges or opportunities that you want to tackle in your communities as well. So our department is going to be, we want it to be a resource for you all. So please, you know, reach out with any questions that you have at any time, and I'd love to talk to you. So looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Caitlin, and congratulations again. Back to you, Mayor.
Thanks, Caitlin. Congratulations. Thank you, Matt. Matt, I just had one question. Maybe you can send this out. The name of the app for the bus fares that you can download.
Yep. We'll be happy to send. Yep. We'll send that to you. We'll send that to you, Mayor.
That'd be great. I'd like to share that.
Yeah, it's called Token Transit. Token Transit. So we'll send that out.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Matt? All right, great. We'll move on to our legislative update, and Kathy.
Hi, Polly. It's a little awkward in that the CGA website once again has is experiencing some slowdowns and problems. So I was unable to this morning try to update on a couple of the more important issues that we've been waiting for, language on the FOI request or the FOI bill that could well be problematic, and the PFAS funding. They're alive. We know that as of last night. There are two bills on the PFAS funding, and it looks like, at least as of right now, that the Senate bill is the one that seems to be moving more rapidly. I was told that they'll probably look at potentially combining some of the language, but that has not happened yet. Most of the public hearings on those are done. I think one of them, we're waiting for it on the 24th, the House bill, but the Senate bill has already been heard and is moving. About half of the committees have reached their deadline. There was a problem with the Environment Committee today, and that has some pretty hot issues on it, specifically the solid waste issue. Apparently, that meeting was canceled not because of problems with the internet, but because the meeting wasn't properly noticed. And so that came up as an objection, and they've moved that meeting to tomorrow. And I'm assuming that means the proper notice will be put in the CGA calendar today. So a few stumbling blocks, making it a little bit difficult to keep up on things. But on some of these hot bills, I can perhaps email updates when the system is fully up and updated, so I can see where they are and if the full language is in fact out on some of the bills we've been waiting for. And it's a zoo over there. It's gridlock. There are a lot of folks protesting a couple of bills in public health. So I think you were there, Matt, and experienced the chaos.
I concur, Kathy.
Yeah.
But don't worry, we won't be able to buy wine in grocery stores.
Right. That died yesterday.
Any questions for Kathy?
I think Robin.
I don't see any. All right, Kathy, thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks for staying on top of those things for us.
Okay, you're welcome. And I'll email out as soon as I can update.
Sounds good. Thank you. All right, item number six today, we have Jim Frey with us from, I'm going to give a waste management project presentation. Matt, I don't know if you want to give him a better intro than that.
I would love to do that, Mayor. Thank you. And, okay. And this is actually the main item we have on today's agenda, and really excited to be at this point. And we want to give you a presentation on our work on our waste management project. We're joined today by Jim Frey from RRS, and I believe Annie White from his team, and Deborah Darby from Tetra Tech, who is a subconsultant on the project. Jim has a presentation he'd like to make, Mayor. Then I would like to add a few comments to Jim's presentation, and then we could open it up for Q&A.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much, Matt and Mayor. Pleasure to be here with the group and present the work we have been able to support CROG in over the last few months. For both RRS and, as Matt mentioned, Annie White and Sarah Nichols, along with Deborah Darby from Tetra Tech, it's been a really a good experience for us working closely with both the leadership as well as the different communities to present the findings here today and set the stage for Matt's comments that will follow. And if you go to the next slide, please. Our work started, as always, with an assessment of where things are at right now, and we use a comprehensive approach a kind of a systems approach for best practices. And each of these areas that are shown in this slide, collection, processing, end markets, supporting policies, education and outreach, and public-private partnerships, we typically find in our studies that good performance in these areas is where you can achieve the types of recovery levels that you aspire to, and also the kinds of efficiencies and performance and service quality that you aspire to. And so you see the small little round grading score in each, or buttons in each of the right-hand sides, right upper corner of each of these areas. And that gives our very simple assessment. There's much more detail in the material, but we want to set the stage of understanding for everybody that we know on the collection side that opportunities exist to increase recycling and yard waste access for single-family, multifamily, commercial schools and institutions. And that's an area, both an opportunity and a challenge. On the processing side, we know, as you all know, that disposal capacity and transfer station capacity are key to future performance requirements that meet your needs. And we also know that organics capacity is short in the region. Similarly, on end markets, there is some good supply channels of your materials into end markets, but could be better. Similarly on policies, maybe highest performing is that both you as communities, as well as the state, have a supporting policy framework that, while there's still room for improvement, is a lot further than many other parts of the country are at. Both in education and outreach and public-private partnerships, we believe there's opportunities to be tapped, basically. And if you go to the next slide, to bring focus to this for CROG, we really took those six best practices, which you see in the left-hand side of the slide, that focus up both on building infrastructure and then ensuring the sustainability and cost-effective and cost-efficient operation of that infrastructure, that there's really a set of goals that we essentially put into writing that represent what we understand where CROG would need to focus on. And the first is obvious to everybody: identify those short and long-term transport and disposal options to support cost-effective, environmentally sound waste disposal, a big challenge for the times, given the developments with MIRA. And more importantly, in that context, especially when we talk about future infrastructure, is how much of that infrastructure do you need? And that's where diversion programs have a big impact. And so we really feel like the need is to put in place the plans and implementation mechanisms to meet that 60% diversion goal. There's lots of detail in our work, but those fundamentally come down to performance standards, funding mechanisms, incentives, long-term contracting structures, vehicles for intergovernmental cooperation, public-private partnership, and as part of that, really moving into consideration of reconvening CISWA as a step in the future that Matt's going to speak of. To the next slide, please. So priorities for action to bring focus to potentially you as a policy group providing direction. First is what we would call continuous improvement in waste diversion, with a focus on organics, both commercial and residential. Pay-as-you-throw in its many unique permutations tailored to each community. And then recycling and packaging in paper, an important area of new performance opportunity to evaluate. The second one, short-term disposal solutions, is obviously of immediate need, where we really do feel like the short-term solutions set the stage for long-term, but may be different than your long-term solutions. And so that means undertaking procurement steps and understanding both what the opportunities are and what the constraints are, and then also how to move forward with operationally implementing what those issues and challenges are. And that's really where the prospect or opportunity of a regional waste authority, a way to organize through reconvening CISWA, fits in. If you go to the next slide. And so organizing for action is really where we think the milestone has been reached to pivot from the assessment or analysis into actual implementation steps, with two areas of focus. One is collaborating as buyers and operators, you as communities, We believe very strongly that some of the immediate steps are to engage in a co-design process, co-design with you as buyers around viable service approaches, translating those into specifications, organizing as buyers of those services within a strong policy framework that would guarantee success, working through the governance and decision-making elements, which are part of that CISWA opportunity, and then moving relatively rapidly into activating operations and continuous improvements in those in that programming, which would build the foundation for long-term sustainable solutions. Parallel to that is really a process that, from our perspective, is engaging the market of solution providers, really understanding that strong, robust solutions will come through public-private partnerships in various forms. And again, that starts with understanding their capabilities, both strong, long-term existing players you're probably very familiar with, as well as some of the new service providers in the marketplace that can be really strong solutions for you to initiate procurements around, understanding that those procurements could focus on both short and long-term solutions almost concurrently. We view that as positioning you for what I call market-based decision-making. The best decisions are really made when you have all the information in front of you, service quality, service provider, cost information, how you're going to move forward as a group of buyers, and then implementing with full community engagement, recognizing how much impact your residents, your citizens, your businesses will have on the success or lack thereof of some of the solutions. And then finally, active management of solution partners, all of which really sets the stage, if you go to the next slide, please, for launching waste diversion initiatives that there's been discussion of, there's been pilots of, there's some learning that's going on, but we really think you're positioned well to move more proactively in three key areas. One is in the organics, commercial and residential. The size of the prize is big. It could increase your total diversion level by 14 percentage points, which is a lot, 100,000 ton potential. There's a business model that's been proven that's based on avoided waste collection and disposal costs, essentially repurposing spend. There's processing capacity in the region to handle that. It's not that it can't be increased or improved, but it's there to start with. And that what really is needed is strong collection partnerships, and that's accomplished through both policy and procurement. A second area, again, much discussion of and some good examples and experience with, and that's pay-as-you-throw. Again, the potential is big, potential of 20% reduction in residential waste disposed. The business model is essentially to leverage your policies and your contracting. The infrastructure requirements are not big, may involve carts in some cases, but definitely is largely a more of an operational procurement approach or service provision approach, excuse me. And again, collection partnerships are the key here in terms of activating. The last one is a little bit, for lack of a better word, out of your local wheelhouse, but that is that developments in recycling and packaging paper have some policy implications at the state level, with extended producer responsibility being discussed at the table legislatively. And this is an area where the programming you have in place for recycling, our view is that it's got a good foundation. You've got recycling facilities. But what is the gap? Is that tonnage that could still be recovered, much of it with the existing capacity you've already deployed? That potentially is another 12 percentage points of diversion, has large implications for communities and industry. And we think you can take some steps now to position you as a group and you as communities to benefit from any developments in legislative mandates around producer engagement with funding and helping in the operations of recycling and packaging and paper. So if you go to the next slide, all of these has been translated into the deliverables into implementation plans. And I'm not going to go into detail on these, except for to say that in these three areas that we just described, there's tremendous potential to move relatively quickly. And by that, I mean to have programs operating within the 18-month to 24-month timeframe. And so we have specific steps outlined for each phase to allow that to take place, recognizing that that means a lot of interaction with you as communities working together and with all the technical support and tools that are necessary to make that happen. We're quite confident in this kind of implementation phasing because we do it with our client communities all the time. We know it's possible. And one of the things we know for sure is that the service providers, when they're responding to highly structured, well-organized procurements, they can bring the solutions that you're looking for. And so that's really, even though there's lots of detail behind these three work streams, that's really the essence of it is, it is a way to activate some significant beneficial programs for you and your communities. So if you go to the next slide, the real nut, the real challenge is that disposal solution that has obviously been turned upside down with the shutdown of MIRA. And so really the focus there is on accessing regional disposal capacity and taking steps to make that available. And this simple chart describes a real range of both challenges and solutions in waste disposal. The bottom part of the matrix is distance from CROG communities expressed in increments of 50 miles, and the left side of the axis, left axis, is the daily tonnage capacity that would be able to be tapped for disposal in these distances. And as you can see, you go out 150 mile radius before you get to anything. But once you get to that stage, especially in that 200, 250 range, you begin to tap into the kind of capacity that becomes solutions for you. That's not a small thing to access that capacity, and it's not the long-term sweet spot, but the short-term sweet spot is definitely some variation of transfer and disposal using those partners. So if we go to the next slide, what that sets the stage for is essentially how to do that in an organized fashion where your interests as communities and as a group of communities are represented well and protected well, and come forward in a way that gets you best solutions at pricing and service quality that are meeting your needs. And a couple things to keep in mind is that this, you're not alone in this. You may not always get as much help as you would like at the state level, but there are steps being taken that essentially are positioning both you as communities and also the set of solutions to potentially matchmake here to cover this five-year gap or longer, including some grant money that is potentially available to form new or expand existing regional waste authorities, engage in all the both setup of governance as well as activities for launching stronger diversion programs, accessing infrastructure, developing infrastructure. And as you can see from that date there, you know, that's coming right up, but it is something that the CROG team is pursuing aggressively to potentially make that available for you and your region. And so that brings the regional authority to attention, something that you have some tools to work with that are much more easily accessed than many other regions that don't have the prep work or the foundation of something like an existing, though less active authority like CISWA. And so there's some steps described here from a governance point of view to activate that. And Matt's going to speak more about that later. And obviously, the purpose is twofold. One is to provide a vehicle for collaboration on managing disposal and recycling services on behalf of all participating members. And then secondly, to really move into that service procurement, especially on the solid waste disposal side, collection, transfer, and disposal, knowing that that's where much of the cost effectiveness and cost savings or optimum price points can be achieved, largely through, again, back to our original theme, working together as buyers in the marketplace. So if you go to the next slide, it's not like there aren't examples, and there's been quite a bit of work and engagement with groups like the HRRA, Housatonic Resource Recovery Authority, as decent models to work from, to show how it works, how it can be successful, how it can provide exactly the kinds of solutions you need short-term as well as long-term. And that's really one of the benefits of having such a good working model, not too far away, so to speak, in terms of representational solutions within your environment. And if you go to the next slide, we then have a set of recommendations, again, sort of culled from the reports that describe the areas of moving forward, our what we call recommended both administrative track and development track. And in the first, over these next few slides, the obvious left side is about organizing towns to reactivate SISWA and all the components of that. Again, a major asset that could allow you to move much more quickly than some communities are able to. That also, if you go to the right side, means updating certain elements of that in terms of bylaws, goals, really to have them be fine-tuned to the specific opportunities you have in front of you and challenges you have in front of you. And that's really, I think, one of the main purposes that the work we've just been doing and have presented are set up to do. It really provides a roadmap for this expansion and activation of SISWA. And if you go to the next slide, you then move into some of the more programmatic elements that there, the initiatives I was describing, and especially around diversion, are initiatives that could be hosted by SISWA, could easily become major programmatic elements that would make your life at the community level easier and more effective, and allow for collaboration between you as communities to function within the SISWA structure, but potentially activate on that 18 to 24 month, especially for diversion program timeline that I was talking about earlier. As consultants, we always make a point to say that good data leads to good decision making. And that's why we, on the right side, we believe there's a need for improved data tracking, which would enable a couple things. One is better planning for programs for your future, but also when it comes to actually working with your service providers, the first thing they'll need is good data all around. How are programs performing now? Who's participating? What are those locations? What kind of service provision is happening? How successful is that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So again, a point that this could be hosted by and sponsored by SISWA as part of its solution that it would be providing to you. If you go to the next slide, as we near the end here, we also have recommendations to begin immediately moving forward on the diversion programming. And we bring that up here as more of a operations, programs, and facilities side, knowing that some of this will happen in your communities at the local level, some of it will happen with communities working amongst each other and with each other, and some will be facilitated by SISWA, depending on how that moves forward. But regardless, we feel programmatically that the recommendations both on the left and the right are recommendations that should begin concurrently and, for lack of a better word, immediately, in order to have them be viable as soon as possible for you and your constituents in each of your communities. So if we go to the next slide, just to summarize our recommendations as I wrap, is that we definitely see waste diversion expansion, as we've just described, as a really important element of programming for implementation concurrently, but also in sync with the activation of any authority structures. Secondly, the actual development of that authority and incorporating short-term disposal options as part of its solution set and program plan. As we just talked about, we feel like there's a set of areas of focus of that development, both administratively in that first point, and then facilities and operation in the second point. We also think that there's an important element of what I call in my trade political will to work together and also to work internally within your community. There will be supporting steps needed internally in each community, whether it's ordinance updates or participating in procurements and taking other supporting steps for these recommendations. that it takes political leadership. And that's really where you as the policy committee can provide a strong foundation. You'll also see recommendations for development of staffing, budget, and potential resources for long-term sustainability that both need to be identified long-term in what we have potentially scoped out as a task three. And then lastly, in order to move fast, our part of our recommendation is we think we've been helpful. And so we do think that there's a need to find a way for continued technical support from both IRS and Tetra Tech, especially in the on-demand support that's needed as you move through some special stages in your programming over the years where experience in helping communities make these pivots can save literally tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and bring you on a track road to success. And I believe if we go to the last slide, this is a little bit of a segue to Matt for his comments as well as communications and discussion. So I'll turn it over to you, Matt.
Thank you so much, Jim. So as Jim said, and as I said at the outset, I just have a few additional comments I'd like to provide, and we'll open it up for Q&A. And actually, Laura, could you go to the next slide first, and then we'll return to this one. So first of all, I want to thank our steering committee that has been involved in this project to date. We've got Peter Souza from Windsor, Julian Freund from Hartford, Tom Roy from Simsbury, Russ Arnold from Farmington, Bill Watkins, I believe from Glastonbury. I apologize, Bill, if I'm mistaken on that. Dave Stuber from Hartford also, John Phillips and Catherine Bruns from West Hartford, Courtney Lindbergh from Manchester, Ginny Walton from Mansfield, and Jim Alvis has been our liaison from DEEP. Our RRS team of Annie White, Jim Fry, Sarah Nichols, David Stead, Tetra Tech team, I apologize, Bill Watkins from Coventry. Thank you, Pauline. Tetra Tech team of Deborah Darby and Ari Creeman. And really want to thank our CROG team, Robin Nichols in particular. Robin's really done a fabulous job as our project manager, supported by Pauline Yoder and myself. If you could go to the previous slide, Laura. So as Jim noted in his report and his recommendations, we're fortunate in that we already have a regional solid waste authority on the books. You know, it was created roughly 10 years or so ago. It has 12 members right now. 11 of them are from the CROG region. And then we have one, Cromwell, from the River COG region. CSWA hasn't met in a little bit, decided to go on hiatus while this project was pending. However, the good thing is we do have this authority that has been in place for some time, and we can utilize it as a vehicle to move some of these recommendations forward. So what we would like to do, and we understand you're going to need a little time with this as well, is we would like to convene a meeting with the CSWA towns and make a similar presentation to them and recommend that CSWA move forward with some of these recommendations, particularly on the administrative side, you know, reviewing the ordinance that we have in place, reviewing the dues structure, how the organization is set up. We do have a support agreement between CSWA and CROG that we would want to review as well. Would also recommend that CSWA look to open up the organization to other member towns. If there are other towns within the CROG region or even other regions that may choose to join the authority. In order to do that, you know, CSWA is going to need some dedicated staff support. CSWA does have a bit of a reserve that we can draw upon for that purpose. And we are also submitting an application to the CT DEEP grant for regional waste authorities, and hopefully we'll be awarded the grant and can utilize that for this purpose as well. So that is what we see as next steps. You know, we want to be able to take your input, your feedback, do our best to respond to your questions. If you do feel like you want to carry this as old business to the next meeting, we can certainly do that. We also want to convene a meeting of CSWA in April, as I said, to make a similar presentation to them with the recommendation that we move forward with some of the steps that are outlined in the report. So that completes our presentation, Mayor. We know this is a big, important, and weighty topic for our region. I see a number of folks in the chat did clarify that Bill Watkins is from the town of Coventry. Turn it back to you, Mayor, and Jim and I are happy to take any questions, receive any comments or feedback that the members have. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Matt. Any questions or comments on this? All right, I texted Matt my comments. I'll keep them there. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to our action items. Number seven, need a motion for resolution to support CROG's role as lead organization for the EPA Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program. Do I have a motion?
Don't move, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
Thank you. John, do I have a second?
Second, Eric Anderson.
Thank you, Eric. Liz, I think this is you.
Okay. Hi, Elizabeth Sanderson. Prepared the agenda item here for this. This is the first phase of the EPA Climate Pollution Reduction Grants Program. It's a non-competitive planning grant to develop regional climate action plans on a statewide level, as well as at a metropolitan statistical area level, which Hartford, East Hartford, Middletown have a 57 municipalities within that MSA, we'll call it the MSA, Hartford MSA, and eligible for $1 million in funding for the planning grant. And CROG would apply as the primary regional planning organization. It would allow us to be able to create a priority climate action plan, which would be due in March of next year, and then followed up by a comprehensive climate action plan due 2 years from the award date, and to do periodic updates to the plan throughout the 4-year grant program. So we recommend that the policy board approve the resolution demonstrating support for CROG's role as lead organization for the planning grant cooperative agreement. Next steps would be for CROG to submit a notice of intent to participate in the grant program, and that is due by April 28th. So happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Any questions? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 8, resolution authorizing contract between CROG and Quality Perspectives for training and strategic planning services for the Capital Region Medical Reserve Corps. Do I have a motion?
No move, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
Thank you, John.
Second, Eric Anderson.
Thank you, Eric. Cheryl, do you want to give us a brief summary here?
Sure. You all may recall that we've received many grants lately for our Capital Region Medical Reserve Corps through NACHO and Yale. And this resolution authorizes MAC to execute a contract with Quality Perspectives to perform, as the mayor said, training and strategic planning work for that group.
Awesome. Thanks, Cheryl. Any questions for her? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right, John, item 9. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I'd move approval of the, should be a 9, not, we got the wrong one up there, but item 9, I believe, is a TIP.
Yes.
I would move approval of the TIP amendments.
Do I have a second?
Bob Bessel, I'll second.
Thank you, Bob.
Madam Chair, there are seven of the seven TIP amendments. They're all initiated by the state. They do not have a financial impact upon the region. They are primarily in the region. They have been approved by the Transportation Committee, and the Transportation Committee recommends same to the Policy Board. I can run through them quickly if anyone so desires. Other than that, I would move the motion.
Thank you, John. Any questions or comments?
Okay.
All right. Okay. I don't think so. All those in favor, signify aye. By saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, John. Item 10.
Item 10, I'd move approval of this resolution.
I will gladly second Bob Bessel.
Thank you, Bob.
This is a motion to authorize the executive director, Matt, to enter into an agreement with the selected consultant for the Route 44 corridor study that was requested by Canton and is in accord with the unified work program that CROG has for 2023 through 2024-25. Transportation Committee has reviewed this request, fully endorses it, and recommends same to the Policy Board, and I would so move.
Thanks, John. Any questions or comments? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. And number 11, John.
Again, I would move this resolution, which is confirming the priority projects for the Transportation Alternative Set-Aside Program. It's basically a reaffirmation of the list we had approved before and is in accordance with all of our plans and policies, has also been reviewed by the Transportation Committee, which unanimously recommends approval by the Policy Board, and I would so move.
I will second Bob Bessel.
Thank you again, Bob. Any questions or comments? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Number 12, we've got some correspondence and handouts. Matt?
Thank you, Mayor. We've bundled the correspondence this time around because it's a little voluminous and written a number of letters of support for our member towns applying for various grants, community project funding, the deep recreational trails, which I know is very popular. A couple for a RAISE grant, which is really exciting, and then this physical activity and nutrition program. And then secondly, we've got two items of testimony I submitted on two Senate bills, 1002 and 1190. And the testimony, I always strive to make that consistent with CROG's adopted legislative agenda. Happy to take any questions anybody may have regarding those items.
Anyone? Don't see anything. All right. Thanks, Matt. Any other business today?
We don't have any other business, Mayor. Again, I do want to thank our consulting team, Jim Fry, Annie White, Sarah Nichols, and Deborah Darby for attending today and for today's presentation. And we'll look forward to continued discussion on that.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for joining us today. Make a motion to adjourn. Anybody second and want to vote in favor of that?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
It's 12:53. We're adjourned. Thank you all for your time today.
Thank you all so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.